Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're looking at this section of God's Word, which is so great, and it gives us over and over men and women who trusted God, who took God at His Word. Of course, our goal as we do this study is that we would learn from it. We would say, listen, if these people can take God at His Word and live their lives based on Scripture and the promises and the truths, we can do the same thing. That's what we want to do. There's so much from this book and so much that we can apply. When we started, we talked about faith, and we started with a definition of faith, and we said this, that faith is simply taking God at His Word. That's what it is. We take God's Word, and we believe it. We live it out. We take God at His Word. We said that when we start talking about principles concerning faith, we said that the object of our faith is the key. Faith always has an object. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. There's always something that you believe. There's objective truth. There's something you believe. So faith always has an object, and it's not the amount of faith or the quality of faith, but it's the object of faith that counts. You can have all the faith in Buddha that you can muster up, and that's not going to save you, because Buddha's not a savior. You put faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, and you are saved and saved forever. So that's the whole issue there. We've been going verse by verse, passage by passage through this, and let me tell you what we've seen. We've seen the great things. We've seen Abel offered a sacrifice of faith, and we saw Enoch and his walk of faith, and God took him. We saw Noah and his work of faith building the ark. We saw Abraham and his obedience of faith, that he would leave the Ur of the Chaldees, a land that he lived in, and go to a land that he'd never seen that God promised him. We saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all by faith dwelling in tents. We saw Sarah and Abraham and the birth of faith. We saw Abraham and talked about the future by faith. He was looking for a city. Who had foundations, and the city, of course, is the holy city in the New Jerusalem. And then we saw Abraham offering up his son Isaac by faith, because he knew that God had given him the promise that the Messiah and everything would come through that boy, and he offered him up knowing that if He put him to death, God would raise him from the dead. Incredible truth. We saw Isaac and Jacob and how that was the blessings by faith. We saw Joseph giving his instructions of his bones by faith. He said, listen, when you leave Egypt, and you will, take my bones with you, because I don't want to be resurrected in Egypt. I want to be resurrected in the promised land. We saw the parents of Moses, how they hid Moses by faith. And then we saw a last time Moses and his decision. His decision, who is being brought up in the household of Pharaoh, could even be the next Pharaoh in Egypt, and he was willing to leave it all, made a decision by faith to go and live as a slave with the Hebrews, because he realized that he was Jewish and that he was supposed to be the one to lead the nation back. Well, this morning we're going to see what we call leaving by faith. He's going to leave Egypt. He's going to trust God enough that he's going to take the nation of Israel, he's going to challenge Pharaoh, and they're going to walk right out of Egypt in front of the most powerful army and nation in the world. And that's what we see. So as we begin, let's think about our lives. There are going to be trials and problems and ups and downs and all kinds of different things. And we're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to live by faith. We're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to say, I believe what you say, and I'm going to live out what you say. I'm going to trust you, because He's always with us and He's our strength. And that's the things that we'll see as we go through this. You know, it says that he wasn't fearing the consequences. He said, we're leaving. God said to leave. You're the Pharaoh. You got the most powerful army in the world. We're a bunch of slaves. We don't even know how to fight. We've been in slavery for 400 years, so we don't know anything about fighting, but we're leaving because God said to leave. And that's what we're going to see. Leaving by faith. And I think there are three things as we look at our passage this morning. We're going to see that by faith, he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. He was, by faith, he was delivered from death. And by faith, victory over the enemies. And let me just show you. I want to give you the outline of the passage. We're not going to see the whole thing today. We'll see some of it the next time we look at this. But we're going to see in verse 27, he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. Left Egypt, looked to God. Then in verse 28, we're going to see that he was delivered from death. And that's where we're going to look at the Passover lamb and he sprinkled the blood. And then the next time we look at this, next week we'll have a special message, and then we'll come back to this. We're going to see his victory over the enemies, where they passed through the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned. So it's an amazing truth as we look at this. It's a famous story. Most everybody in here would say, oh yeah, Moses parting the Red Sea and them coming out. But the part that we're looking at today is by faith. He was was willing to leave. He wasn't afraid of the Pharaoh. He was walking out. And we're going to talk about the Passover, and we're going to talk about the sprinkling of blood. So let's look at it. First of all, he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. He was a pretty amazing person because he went as a slave and went face to face and challenged the Pharaoh time after time. Look at verse 27. It says, by faith, he, Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Notice all of the passage always start the same way. By faith, by faith, by faith, Moses left Egypt. Remember last time he, let me remind you of something. Most of you remember that we talked about by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because the law said if it's a little Hebrew baby, you're supposed to put him to death. When Moses was born, they didn't put him to death. They knew he was unique. They had the idea that this was going to be the child. This was going to be the one that would lead them out of being in slavery in Egypt. And so what they did is his mama put him in a little basket. Pharaoh's daughter came out to bathe. She saw the basket. She picked it up, opened it up. Moses cried, her heart went out. She said, that's one of those little Hebrew boys. I'm going to raise him myself. And for 40 years of his life, he grew up in Pharaoh's household. And he was all the training. In fact, if you said to him, have you got it made? He'd say, I got it made. I mean, I'm in the king of the world's household. I'm his, like, in a sense, an adopted son. Who knows, one day I could be king. But he realized that he wasn't Egyptian. And he knew his mother and father were, and he talked to them, and they told him, you are special in the sight of God. We saw that both in the book of Acts. We also saw it in the book of Exodus. And we know that he knew he was the one to deliver his people. And about the age of 40, he decided he would no longer live in Pharaoh's household. He would go and be a slave in Egypt. We talked about this last week. It's incredible. He was willing to give up being rich, richest people in the whole world, most powerful people in the whole world, and go to be a slave. But he said, I'm not Egyptian, I'm Jewish, I'm a Hebrew, and I have a plan that God wants me to do. And we know that he got sort of in trouble. He killed a man. He thought his own people would recognize he's the one to lead them out. They didn't. So he had to run off. And for 40 years, he lived on the backside of the desert in Midian, and he was taking care of a man named Jethro, his flock. And at the end of 40 years, he's now 80 years old, God comes to him in a burning bush. And Moses sees this bush, and he says, this bush is burning, but it's not burning up. And he goes over there, and God says to him, Moses, take your shoes off. It's holy ground. He takes his shoes off. He says, I know who you are, and I want you to lead my people. Go to Egypt and lead them back here. And that's where we are. And so Moses goes back at 80 years old, and he's not afraid of the Pharaoh. And we're going to talk about why in just a minute. Why? Because how could this 80-year-old man challenge the most powerful ruler in the world and the most powerful army in the world? Well, he's seen the unseen. That's what it says. He knows that God is with him. So here's what we want to do. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's turn back there. Hold your place in Hebrews 11 and turn all the way back to the second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and Exodus chapter 3. And we'll see what happened. We'll get that little passage that I told you about, and you'll see how it fits together. Moses is in Midian, tending his father-in-law's sheep. His father-in-law's name Jethro. And let me just say this to you, that when Moses was 40 years old, he thought he was ready. He had been trained in Egypt. He had everything. He was smart. He knew everything. He thought, I'm ready to lead the people out. But he wasn't. See, the training in the world doesn't prepare you to do what God has for you to do. And so he had to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert taking care of what? A bunch of sheep. Because what's going to happen, he's going to come and lead out a nation of 2 million people in the desert for 40 years. He's going to be the shepherd of Israel. And that's where he got his training. God prepared him. I guarantee you that if you come to Moses at 80 years old and said, what do you think, man? How's your life been? He says, it's been a mess. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was supposed to be the one to lead the people out, but I failed. And I've wasted my life. I've spent 40 years being a shepherd, doing basically absolutely nothing. He didn't even realize God was training him. And at 80 years old, God says, you go back. It's time. Let's see this. He'd been trained in Pharaoh's household, but he wasn't ready. He had to be trained as a shepherd. Chapter 3, verse 1, look what it says. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. By the way, Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are the same place. Moses is here at 80 years old at the same mountain that he will go to Egypt, bring the people out. They will come to this mountain, and Moses is going to go up in this mountain and get the Mosaic Law. This is the same place. Watch what happened. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. That's what he said. This is amazing. I've got to go see this. And God spoke to him. Listen to what God says to him. Look at verse 9. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And then he says this, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, if you're Moses, you thought, well, I thought I was supposed to do that 40 years ago. I'm a little old to do that now. I'm 80 years old. I think my time has passed. Look what Moses says, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He's basically saying, who am I? But here's the key in his verse 12. He said, certainly I will be with you. I want you to realize that. I will be with you. See, Moses, it doesn't matter whether you're 80 years old, 120 years old, 15 years old, when God is with you. When David fought Goliath, how old do you think David was? He may have been 14, maybe 15. And he said to Goliath, you come with a shield and a sword, but I come in the name of the living God. See, when God is with you, he says, here's the sign. Look, he said, certainly I will be with you. This will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. How could an 80-year-old man defy the most powerful king in all the world? You know why? Because God is with him. And there's a great truth. God plus us, it's always a majority. If you got God, you got it made. God is using you. He'll take you. He will use you. We should never fear. God told him to do it. And let me tell you, the first thing is that he's by faith leaving because he knows that God is with him. And let me tell you, every one of us in this room, we got trials and problems and issues and things and ups and downs. And as you go out these doors, you're going into a fallen world which tries to shape you and pull you. And everything in the world could go wrong. And you can say, I don't have to be afraid. Because why? Because God is with me. He will never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. It says that he endured. He endured because he knew what God was doing. Go back to Hebrews 11 just for a second. Turn back there. Look what it says. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured. He toughed it out, you might say, seeing him who is unseen. All the way through, he knew it was God. And let me tell you what he endured. He went to Pharaoh the first time, you remember? And he was afraid to talk. And so God said, I'll let your brother do the talking. So Aaron went and said, I'm going to do the talking for Moses. And Aaron said, God said, let our people go. And Pharaoh said, who is your God? I don't care anything about your God. You got too much time on your hand. You come in here and telling me you want to go. You can't go. You got too much time on your hand. In fact, from now on, I'm not even supplying the straw. You're making bricks all the time. I've been giving you the straw. No more straw. You get your own straw. And you got to make the same amount of bricks. They left and they went, that didn't go so well. No, it didn't. And then they got out and talked to the people, and the people got mad at Moses and Aaron and said, you are messing things up for us. I mean, we're already slaves. It's bad enough. We got to make bricks. Now we don't even have straw. And it got worse. And Moses would go time and time again, and he'd say, if you don't let God's people go, he's going to do this. And there were 9 plagues, 10 total, but 9 plagues in Egypt. And every time a plague would come, Pharaoh would go, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Call that Moses guy in here. Okay, Moses, I've changed my mind. I'll let you go. And the plague would end. He'd say, no, I changed my mind. You can't go. And it went on and on. But see, Moses was not afraid of the king, the most powerful man in the world. Why? Because God's with him. See, he has his eyes on the Lord. He was seeing the one who is unseen in our lives. Listen, where's God? He said, well, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him yet, but he's there. He's unseen. He's a spirit being, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? God had revealed himself. And as we run the race with endurance, where do we put our focus? We put our focus on God. Run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's what we do. Now, there's more. God is with him. He says, I can leave because I see God. Now, nobody else sees him because I see him. I know him. I saw him in the bush. I know he's with me. I've watched the plagues. I've watched it all. We're going to leave, and I'm leaving, and I'm not even afraid of leaving. But then there's the second thing. He's delivered from death. Because I want you to understand, the final plague was this. God said, Moses, you go tell Pharaoh that if he doesn't let us go, every firstborn in the whole land of Egypt will die. The firstborn of sons, the firstborn of cattle, the firstborn of Pharaoh, the firstborn of a slave, every firstborn in all of Egypt will die. Now, who lives in Egypt, by the way, at this time? Jewish people. Would every firstborn of theirs die? Yes. But God has a plan. So he went to Pharaoh and he said, if you do not let us go, every firstborn child, son, basically, will die. And Pharaoh said, this is the last time I'm putting up with you. Don't ever come back and see me again. And Moses said, you will not see my face again. And they left. But God had a plan. Because what's going to happen is the angel of death is going to come over the land of Egypt at midnight. And he's going to strike dead every firstborn in Egypt. But God has a plan. By faith, verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Why was he not afraid? Why was he not afraid? Because God said, I will protect you. And I want you to turn back to Exodus again, but this time Exodus 12. I want you to see something. They knew they'd be delivered. They kept the Passover, and they sprinkled the blood. Here's what God said to do. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through the land in the middle of the night, and every firstborn will die, except if you will take a lamb, you get it on the 10th day of the month, you kill it on the 14th day of the month, you take the blood of that lamb, and you put it up on the door, on the top and the sides, and you eat that lamb. It's called the Passover lamb. You eat it. You put the blood on the door. When I come through there at midnight, every house that has blood on the door, I will pass over them. And there will not be the death of the firstborn. But every house that does not have blood, the firstborn will die. So watch what happens. Exodus, they kept the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, look at this. Now the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of the month for you. It is the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, and on the 10th day of the month there, each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. They got to get the lamb. Then verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of that same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. So every household gets the lamb, kills it, and puts the blood on the door. They kill it, and they ate the meal. If you look and go over to verse 11, it says, now you shall eat this in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know what he was telling them? You eat it standing up. It's time to go. This is not a leisurely meal. We're getting out of Egypt. What I want you to do is take that lamb, and I want you to pull up your thing so you can run faster. I want you to get your staff in your hand. I want you to get your sandals on. I want you to eat that because we're leaving town. And we're leaving right now as soon as you eat it. And watch what happened. They sprinkled the blood. Look at verse 7 again. Let me just read that back for you. He says, moreover, you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house on which they eat it. You're to sprinkle the blood. And look at verse 12 of Exodus 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, the everlasting God. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called Passover. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Moses believed God by faith. He was willing to walk right out, not being afraid. By faith, they kept the Passover and they sprinkled the blood so that they would be safe. They were saved from death and bondage by the blood of the Passover lamb. Now, let me tell you something else. There's death for all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is what? Death. We're all supposed to be separated from God. But God has a plan. And he sent us his Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who died on the 14th day of the first month of Nisan, the Jewish calendar. He died as our Passover lamb. His blood was shed. And when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saying, I'm taking the blood of Christ. And the judgment and the bondage and death passes over you. And you have eternal life, and you'll never be separated from God, because death is separation from God. So all of us have a Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, he is your Passover lamb, and the judgment passes over you, and you will have eternal life. We trust in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. What happened? Look at Exodus 12, look at 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh arose in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Do you know that there was a death in every home that night, including Jewish people? See, in all the homes without the blood, there was the death of the firstborn son. In all the homes with the blood, there was the death of the Passover lamb. And you remember what they did? Look at verse 35. They plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. When they left, they looked at the Egyptians who had been slaving them, and they said, "Can I have those earrings? Yeah, thank you. Can I have that? Can I have that watch? Thank you." So when they left, they plundered the Egyptians. You say, good gracious, if you remember, we talked about this, we won't turn there, but in Genesis 15, in verse 13, God told Abraham some 500 years before this that his people would be enslaved in a land for 400 years, but when they came out, they would come out with many possessions. And that's exactly what happened. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. What a passage. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured because he was seeing God, because God was with him. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the one who destroyed the firstborn wouldn't touch them. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king, because why? God was with him. By faith, they kept the Passover. Why? Because the blood on the door saved them from death. Moses trusted God. He didn't fear Pharaoh. He didn't fear death because they put the blood on the door. Do you think any of the Egyptians put the blood on the door? Because you know the Jewish people told them. They told them judgment's coming. If you read the passage where they come out, it's not just Jews leaving. There are other people coming out with them. Some of the Egyptians put the blood on the door and left with the Jews. Moses trusted God, not fearing the Pharaoh, trusting God by the Passover to be delivered from bondage and death. When we trust our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, we're delivered from bondage and death. Next time, we're going to see him passing through the Red Sea, which is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. And we'll see. Was it shallow? I read something the other day. A guy said, yes, when the children of Israel left, they went to a place called Reed Sea, not Red Sea. That's just a mistranslation in our Bible. And the Reed Sea was very shallow, so the Jewish people just walked across in shallow water. And I said, well, that's wonderful. How did the whole Egyptian army drown in that? Right? right? And the Bible doesn't say it was shallow water. The Bible said it moved the whole sea back, and they went on what? Dry land. And we'll see it. Because it says, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were on dry land, and they were. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, what happened to them? They were drowned. Next time, we'll see that. Moses, by faith, left Egypt, not being afraid of the king. Why? God's with him. By faith, kept the Passover. Sprinkled blood. Why? Because it delivered them from death. Let's think about application. In the trials of life, we have to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. There will be trials, there will be problems, there will be ups and downs, there are circumstances. How do we face them? How do we live without fear? Well, number one, God is with us. Remember, we don't have to be afraid because God is with us. Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? And just remember that He is our strength. He's our power. He's right there. You can do all things through Christ, your strength in Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid because He is with us and we can rest in Him. Keep our focus on Christ. Remember, it said that He was seeing the one who was unseen. We walk out these doors, we're seeing the one who is unseen. But there's a second application, and just remember this: we are delivered from bondage and death by Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. We've all sinned, we owe God death, we're in bondage to sin and death, but when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, He's the way, the truth, and the life, He gives you eternal life, and because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection as our Passover Lamb, by faith in Him, we are delivered from the bondage of sin and death, and God gives us eternal life. The whole world is so confused on salvation. They're telling people to do things and do this and do this. God so loved the world that He gave His Passover Lamb Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He died and rose again. He paid for sin. He conquered death. He offers the gift of eternal life. We take the blood of Jesus. We trust in Him and Him alone. And we'll never be separated from God. And we have eternal life. Well, as we end this, Moses leaving by faith. And as we leave today, we're leaving by faith. We're walking out these doors, and by faith, we're not coming back. We're going to be at the other place.